You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And today marks the first day of the first full week of broadcasts in the brand new year, 2015. And as I get started this year, I want to mention that we now know, our accounting department has informed us, that we finished 2014 in the black. And for that, I am deeply grateful. And now starts what I think is going to be the most important year in the 55-year history of the Christian Research Institute. As we communicate the power of apologetics, biblical literacy, and counter cults around the world. And we are so grateful for those who are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. This year, 2015, I want to start off with a DVD that I want to put into your hands. It's entitled Privileged Species. This is a riveting DVD, and I'll tell you why. At an address to the American Humanist Association, Bill the Science Guy Nye was speaking to an audience. The audience greeted this disturbing proclamation with laughter and applause. Here's what Nye said. I'm insignificant. I am just another speck of sand. And the earth? Well, really in the cosmic structure of things, is just another speck. The sun? An unremarkable star. There's nothing special about the sun. The sun is just another speck. And the galaxy, another speck. I'm a speck on a speck, orbiting a speck, among other specks, among still other specks in the middle of specklessness. So concludes Bill Nye, the Science Guy. I suck. But the question is this. Is any human being that is made in the Imago Dei, made in the image of God, insignificant? Would not Bill Nye, the Science Guy's reasoning, met with applause, carried to its logical extreme, not justify the Holocaust? The killing fields of Cambodia? Dismiss as insignificant the mass shootings and murders that have become almost routine on campuses and places of business around the world? Nye equates the unrivaled, jaw-dropping marvel of the human body and brain to just another speck of sand. Really? The philosophies of Plato and Descartes? The theologies of Augustine and Aquinas? The music of Bach and Beethoven? The physics of Einstein and Bohr all derive from nothing more significant than a grain of insignificant matter? The truth is quite the opposite. Far from being insignificant, a mere speck of dust, we are a remarkably privileged species. And again, that is the title of a wonderful new DVD demonstrating that the cosmos is designed for human life. The Privileged Species DVD is just one illustration of the type of information and resource that we're going to put into your hands in 2015 so that you can intelligently and persuasively counter the flimsy nonsense dispensed daily by the likes of secular humanists. Heresy advances only as orthodoxy retreats. And in like fashion, the patent nonsense of scientific celebrities like Bill Nye, the Science Guy, advances only as unthinking and unequipped Christians retreat under secularism's relentless advance. They're willing to do for a lie what Christians oftentimes are not willing to do for the truth. I'm absolutely confident that Privileged Species, the DVD, will provide you with a winsome, a thought-provoking tool through which you can share with friend and foe alike that you are standing for life and truth. And let me emphasize that this ministry is not just about the truth claims of Christ, as important as that is. It's not just an explanation, an apologetic. It is an experience that you can have with the living Christ that is paramount in our teaching. You can experience the resurrected Christ now in the present. That, by the way, is why the persecuted church in China is growing. They have learned what it means to live the crucified life, the engrafted life, not merely a changed life, but an exchanged life, the life of Christ within. Now, we are going to go to calls in just a few moments, but I want to follow up on this idea of origins. I've often said how one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. If you think you're a function of blind chance, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know you're created in the image of God and accountable to Him. But there's a second apologetic issue that is of transcendent importance. And as I walked into the office today, I was handed a copy of Newsweek. This is the double issue, the cover story, the Bible, the subtext, so misunderstood, it's a sin. And I got to tell you, the graphics in this article are simply incredible. They catch the eye. But when you start reading the article, you find that this is a classic example of irresponsible journalism. The kind of journalism that could have never been foisted on an unsuspecting public in an age of discernment. But now we live in an age of biblical illiteracy. A point made in the article, but the point is made in the article to denigrate the Bible. And the kind of thing that you find in this article is what is being communicated day after day in college and university classrooms around the world. And it doesn't stop there. You can go all the way back to primary education and find the same distortions. This article, written by Kurt Eichenwald, contends, among other things, that, quote, no television preacher has ever read the Bible. Neither has any evangelical politician, neither has the Pope, neither have I, and neither have you. At best, we've all read a bad translation, a translation of translations of translations of hand-copied copies of copies of copies of copies, and on and on, hundreds of times. Eichenwald then quotes Bart Ehrman, the Royale professor by his own standards, saying that, well, there are more variations among our biblical manuscripts than there are words in the New Testament. And then Eichenwald goes on to say, with a little translational trickery, a fundamental tenet of Christianity, that Jesus is God, was reinforced in the Bible, even in places where it directly contradicts the rest of the verse. In other words, what Eichenwald is saying is that these translational errors are not insignificant errors, they are substantive errors. In fact, errors that reach the elevation of mistakenly or, well, in a false way, in a deliberate, deceptive way, communicating that Jesus is more than a mere man, that Jesus is actually God. Ironically, Bart Ehrman himself, who Eichenwald quotes, has acknowledged that, and I'm quoting here, essential Christian beliefs are not affected by textual variants in the manuscript tradition of the New Testament. Eichenwald's contention that the Bible is the product of contaminated copies, that major essential Christian doctrine is involved as a result of the contamination, that the stories are cleverly invented, that the collaborators are corrupt. It's nothing new. This is a classic fundamentalism from the left. It's spiritual terrorism. And in this spiritual terrorism, Eichenwald is foisting his own unique brand of sophistry and sleight of mind, and I might say, unadulterated ignorance on a biblically illiterate culture. Because in reality, the wisdom of God is evident through the way he protected the biblical text from tampering. By the time ecclesiastical power was centralized, the biblical manuscripts were long since copied. They were distributed and then buried in the sands of time. And not only is there a relatively short time interval between the earliest papyrus and parchment copies of the New Testament and the original writings, but there is less than a generation between the autographs and the events they chronicle. It's incredible, but it is true. Scholars, true scholars, can now piece together most of the New Testament from fragments dated to within two centuries of the death of Christ. The quality and the quantity of papyrus and parchment manuscripts assure us that the message and the intent of the original autographs has been passed on to the present generation without compromise. If internal evidence points to anything, it's to the reality that far from inventors of internally inconsistent stories, the gospel writers were inspired to faithfully narrate a core set of facts, facts by which they had been radically transformed. And while it's conceivable that they would have faced torture, vilification, even cruel deaths for what they fervently believed to be the truth, it is inconceivable that they would have been willing to die for cleverly invented stories that they knew to be lies. External evidence provides remarkable cooperating attestation. Why? Because from early external evidence provided by credible historians, it's possible now to piece together highlights of Christ in the New Testament wholly apart from the internal evidence itself. Not only are the people, places, and particulars codified in papyrus and parchment buttressed by credible external evidences, but by way of a science known as textual criticism, we can be absolutely certain that the biblical text authentically recapitulates the words of the original writers. And the beauty from a biblical perspective is that the wealth of biblical manuscripts empowers textual critics to credibly sort out copyist errors so that the autograph or the original can emerge, which is precisely what real scholars mean when they speak about the tenacity of the text. So you and I can be certain that no essential the biblical message has been compromised, and non-essential copyist errors are resolved through manuscript comparisons, consideration of context, and plain old common sense. this year like never before, we're going to counter the contentions of those who would denigrate the issue of origins. Biblical veracity and the cults that around the world are turning the scriptures into a wax nose. And hopefully this year will motivate many people to become biblically literate, not only believing that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, but being able to read the Bible for all it's worth, mine it for all it's well. We'll be right back in a few moments with answers to your questions.
10 raised to the power of 120 is an incomprehensibly large number. That's the number 1 followed by 120 zeros. In fact, that number is vastly greater than the total number of atoms in the entire universe. But remarkably, if the energy of the Big Bang were different by just one part in 10 to the 120th power, life would not exist in the universe. The new documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, presents scientific discoveries pointing to an ultra-fine-tuned universe that is the handiwork of a super intellect. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to invest in the work of CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Bill Nye, the Science Guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to help equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jihadists fighting for the Islamic State have been committing a range of systematic abuses, including mass executions, rape, seizing of property, and the destruction of churches and mosques. While ISIS claims that they are simply obeying Allah and Muhammad, many Westerners and Muslims maintain that such atrocities are strictly forbidden in Islam. Who is right? Other topics include Paul, Second Adam, and theistic evolution, unpacking anime's spiritual depth, what has art to do with evangelism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are humans the accidental products of a blind and uncaring universe? Or are they the beneficiaries of a cosmic order that was planned beforehand to help them flourish? Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life is a new documentary film that explores growing evidence from physics, chemistry, and biology that our universe is exquisitely fine-tuned to support intelligent beings like ourselves. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. First caller up, 2015, at least first full week, 2015. Lonnie in Huntsville, Alabama, listening on NRB television. Hi, Lonnie. Hello, Lonnie.
Privileged being the first one.
Good to talk to you.
I'm troubled by what's apparent conflict between John 1:1 and what Jesus said in Matthew 24. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, there seems to be a built-in conflict in that statement. But then in Matthew, Jesus was asked when he would be returning at the end of time, and he said, "I do not know that, only my Father knows." Now, he could not be God and then say that his Father God knows something he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me say that if you look at John 1:1, you're correct in quoting it, and I think you do well in quoting it as you have, but you should continue. The text goes on to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, which is to say that in Christian theology, Jesus took on a human nature, so he was one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. When you go to the Olivet Discourse, which you also allude to, Jesus is not talking, first and foremost, about the end of the world. Jesus is very clearly in context talking about the time of his coming in judgment on Jerusalem and the temple. And he says that that is going to happen within a generation. But he also points out that in terms of exactly when that is going to happen within a generation, in other words, the day or the hour, is only known by God. In other words, the categories are God, angels, and humans. And Jesus Christ is saying God knows, angels do not know, and human beings do not know. So from the perspective of his divinity, Christ would know, but speaking from the perspective of his humanity, he would not know. In other words, it is important to underscore that Jesus in the incarnation voluntarily took on the limitations of humanity. Now, we ought to add to that quickly that he didn't divest himself of a single attribute of divinity, but he operated by the principles of his humanity. Now, there were times in which Jesus did unveil the prerogatives of divinity, but classically dealt with his audience from the perspective of his humanity. So when he's speaking in the Olivet Discourse about the time, the day or the hour, he is speaking from the perspective of his humanity.
Okay, who was speaking then when he was baptized by John the Baptist and a dove came down and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased"? Who was he ventriloquizing that? Or?
No, not at all. The Christian worldview assumes that there's only one God by way of his nature or his essence. There's one what, in other words, if we're talking about his ontology. But from the perspective of persons within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally existent, and they are eternally distinct. So there's one what and three who. So the Bible communicates a God that is one by virtue of his essence, three in terms of subject-object distinctions. So the Father can love the Son, the Father can send the Son can pray to the Father, the Son can send the Holy Spirit, etc. Now that is something that I will without any reservation say is beyond my ken. I can only apprehend it in Scripture. I can't comprehend it. And that doesn't bother me in the least. I worship a God that is infinite and I am but finite. How can the finite fully comprehend the infinite? Now, if the Bible were to say there's one what and three whats, or one God and three gods, that would be an obvious contradiction. But that's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is communicating a triadic one that is beyond my ken.
Okay, you're saying you don't fully understand it like I don't fully understand it.
That's precisely what I'm saying, yes. I'm saying okay, that there's no illustration that I can give to fully communicate it, and that I only apprehend it in the pages of Scripture, and that it is not illogical, but it does supersede my ability to comprehend.
So you can't attribute that to some kind of when they were translating the Bible down through the ages, somebody made a mistake.
Absolutely not. In fact, one of the things I've done over the years is demonstrate in various ways that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. I wrote a book about this called "Has God Spoken?" In fact, all of the objections to the Bible that are communicated in the Newsweek article that I talked about in the first part of the broadcast, all of the contradictions, or virtually all of them, are dealt with in this book.
Yeah.
It's almost as though my book was written to counter the article, but there's much more in the book because it also teaches you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. The Art and Science of Biblical Interpretation, which this author, by the way, the guy that wrote the article for Newsweek, has little comprehension of.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Well, that's not going to make me quit being a believer that prays to the Lord every night and thanks Him for His blessings. And listening to you was a blessing also, Hank.
Lonnie, thank you so much for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
By the way, the issue that I'm talking about here with respect to the Bible being divine as opposed to merely human in origin is so significant that I've actually developed a flip chart. It's entitled Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, and it is put together in a 4x6 laminated format so as to help you master the proofs for the divine inspiration of Scripture in minutes and then remember them for a lifetime. So it's a memorable defense of the most significant literary work in the history of humanity. One other comment, and that is, with respect to Lonnie's question, not only do I not fully comprehend the Trinity now, but I humbly confess that even in eternity, I will not fully comprehend the Trinity. I will spend an eternity seeking to understand the glory and grandeur of the one who created me by His grace, but never forget that the Christian faith is not blind faith. It is faith in evidence. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. You can know that the universe did not spring out of nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. You can know that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And you can know that the resurrection is an established fact of history. And as Christians, you have to remember that, unlike Eichenwald in the Newsweek article, we're not philosophical naturalists. We have an open mind, and so we allow for both natural and for supernatural explanations for that which we encounter in the known universe. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kirk. He's listening in Tucson, Arizona, on the web. Hi, Kirk.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, Happy New Year
all
to
right.
you.
All right. I listened to a program you had probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago. A caller called up and asked a question about Kent Hovind. I've been a follower of his for quite some time, and talked to him several times. I really respect him. I don't necessarily agree with him on everything, but I think you misrepresented him on a few things, mainly with his tax fraud indictment. He wasn't indicted on that. It was 50 accounts, but it wasn't tax fraud. And the Sons of God issue, I think that you...
Okay, well, let's stop right there first of all.
I'll let you get to the rest of it,
but I probably can't remember everything you're saying if you're going to go through a litany of things. But look, tax fraud, you're saying that you do agree that he's serving a sentence for 58 federal counts.
Not a tax fraud, though.
But if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it probably is a duck. His criminal prosecution included many counts of what's called structuring, systematically depositing and withdrawing cash amounts under $10,000 for the purpose of avoiding currency reporting requirements. So, I mean, look, structuring, you know, again, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it probably is a duck.
Okay, did you read the other counts? I mean, just the fact that something is structured, anybody could take out under $10,000 every month and be accused of this. Okay, it was originally intended to catch drug dealers.
Well, my comments were not to get into the technicalities of why he's serving a prison section sentence for 58 federal counts.
If you're going to do honest research, you're going to have to be clear on what exactly he was indicted of, and making it sound like he's a tax fraud or a tax cheat, I think misrepresents what he's actually doing. He actually had a different type of setup than a 501c3. Like most ministries have today. He actually had a ministry that had employees who were working in the same kind of a context. If somebody would come and mow your lawn and you'd pay him $40 to do that in cash or whatever. And the other count that he involved with was essentially not paying his so-called employees his Social Security, which is an entirely different issue under the tax structure that he was under.
I appreciate your clarification.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, yep. And then the Sons of God issue. I think you that kind of made it sound like you were smearing him as saying that this is some sort of a really out there view. When guys, really respected evangelicals, Al Mohler, John MacArthur, and Ham, and a lot of real respected people hold that view, which was essentially the most historic view of this passage. And I think we have to be very careful.
View of what passage?
Genesis 6, Nephilim, and the Sons of God issue as being. I don't think
it's a respectable position at all. I do not think that in biblical theology there's any place for communicating that demons can have sex with women. That's part of mythology, but it's not part of biblical theology. I've written about this in the Creation Answer book. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back with more.
In the new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, you'll discover the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible, and explore unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. Hank Hanegraaff says this enjoyable and persuasive high-quality film presents scientific discoveries, not mere conjecture, that point overwhelmingly to an ultra-fine-tuned universe as the handiwork of a super intellect. Anyone watching will know there is a creator. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank will be back right after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A growing number of evangelicals are accepting theistic evolution without considering the weight of biblical and theological evidence against evolutionary theory. The Apostle Paul's analogy between Christ and Adam in Romans 5 is central to Christian soteriology, yet it does not seem compatible with an evolutionary theory of common descent, whether naturalistic or theistic. Other topics include, will the real Islam please stand up? Did ancient extraterrestrials visit Earth? The Torah, God's Word, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Steven Weinberg, a Nobel laureate, high-energy physicist, and avowed skeptic, has commented, "Life as we know it would be impossible if any one of several physical quantities had slightly different values. Far from being insignificant, the scientific evidence suggests that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is clearly explained in the new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life." To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers, Ron in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, listening on WTRU. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Hank.
Your question.
Yes, I've got five kids, mm-hmm. not as many as you, but two in college, three more at home. I've always done my best to help them be astute, you know, apologetically and in terms of science and the fact that the Christian faith is a faith that's built on reason and evidence. My oldest is a senior at Johns Hopkins University, very scientific university. We were having a discussion just yesterday about fine-tuning of the universe as evidence for God and for creation by a knowing, purposeful God. And what he expressed back was that he's been shot down on the fine-tuning argument by the following, and I didn't feel like I had a cogent response in terms of how to help him respond to this rebuttal. So the rebuttal is the following. Even if it's a 1 in 10 quintillion or some crazy number odds of life emerging, the fact is that if you rolled a die that had 10 quintillion sides, one of those sides would in fact come up. And therefore, if one of these finely tuned factors was even infinitesimally different than it is to support human life as we know it, couldn't or wouldn't some other form of life also emerge under those different conditions?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, the fine-tuning of the universe, I don't think can be reasonably attributed to chance because of the infinitesimally small range of values involved. So I would affirm the hypothesis that's being argued here. Chance is infinitely more likely to produce a life-prohibiting universe than a life-sustaining universe. And so I think that the only plausible source of the fine-tuning of the universe is an external, transcendent, incalculably powerful and intelligent personal mind. And that, of course, is the uncaused first cause that we call God. But with respect to the rebuttal, that's precisely why I'm offering privileged planet series. This privileged species is a unique subsection of the privileged planet idea. The idea here is that humans cannot be accidental products of blind and an uncaring universe. They are the beneficiaries of a cosmic order that was planned beforehand to help them flourish. And so what you have here is a documentary that explores growing evidence from a number of different disciplines, from physics, from chemistry, from biology, from related fields, that our universe was designed for large, multicellular beings like ourselves. And the DVD actually features Michael Denton, who I have a great amount of appreciation for. I'm going to have him on the program, I think, tomorrow. And it investigates the special properties of carbon, water, oxygen, and the like that make human life and life of other organisms even possible to begin with, and then explore some of the unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. But having said all of that, that doesn't negate the possibility that there's life elsewhere in the universe. I don't see any evidence for it, but it certainly isn't negated by this reasoning. What we would negate is that random processes can account for that life.
Mm-hmm. And would it also be true my understanding is that studies in genetic mutation and the like, the probabilities of that, have concluded that even if the universe is, 14 billion years old, that's not enough time for naturalistic evolution to have resulted in human beings.
Well, absolutely. I mean, not just human beings, but I don't think that you can create
even life at all.
Yeah. Well, you can't create a simple protein molecule in the supposed age of the universe. But remember that the evolutionary hypothesis or philosophical naturalism has a far greater problem. How do you explain that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produces morals?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's very helpful. I have the Privileged Planet DVDs. I'm about to make an annual contribution to your ministry, and in conjunction with that, I'll certainly purchase this Privileged Species CBD. They're definitely wonderful products.
Yeah, you'll love this one. I've watched it a number of times. I get so excited about it. I got to put this into the hands of our constituency. It comes to you just as our way of saying thank you for your support.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
You got it. And by the way, you may also want to ask, and I'd be happy to send this to your son, and I'll even personalize it to him if you'd like. I wrote a book called The Creation Answer Book, which deals with many of these questions as well.
Yeah, I've got it. I have to admit I haven't spent enough time in it yet, but I actually have several copies of it, and we'll make sure I get one in his hands.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Bless you, my brother. And back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Doug, Seattle, Washington. KCIS, we're going to be playing Seattle, Washington next week. That's going to be the toughest game the Carolina Panthers have faced. Certainly in the postseason, and I think of the whole year, they haven't beat them in the last three times.
Hopefully they win.
Who's they?
Seahawks.
So we're already starting with a different perspective.
Yeah. So my question is, do you think that the Nephilim...
Nephilim, yeah.
Is that referring to dinosaurs? Because I heard a long time ago, I can't remember, but it was a secular radio station that was talking about dinosaurs, and I think they called them Nephilim, which has made me think about that verse.
Yeah. No, the Nephilim are actually delineated in terms of what they are in Genesis chapter 6, and they're delineated as men. And so this has nothing to do with dinosaurs, nor does it have to do with some kind of a hybrid between humans and fallen angels. Remember that in a biblical worldview, kinds reproduce after their own kinds. And that is not only something that can be substantiated scripturally, but something that can be substantiated scientifically as well.
Because in the very first verse that it talks about Nephilim, it says they were on the earth when the kings of renown. But in different translations, it's very sketchy whether or not they're... I mean, it's not talking about them as kings, is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, what the text actually says is the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were heroes of old, men of renown. So the idea that they're dinosaurs is certainly not consistent with the text. And remember, this is not the only place in Scripture where you find the Nephilim. You can find them elsewhere. In the Scriptures, and as you read about them in Scripture, it is always a designation of human beings.
I don't see it that way, but...
Well, again, my opinion is no better than your opinion, so
right.
What we have to do is take our opinions and test them in light of Scripture,
right.
And then hold fast to that which is good. What you have in Genesis chapter 6 is a judgment on humanity. The judgment on humanity is a judgment via the flood. So the judgment is not on dinosaurs of necessity, but on human beings. The judgment is also not on hybrids, some kind of a hybrid between humans and fallen angels. It is a judgment on the fallenness of humankind. That's the context of the passage. That context is also expressed to us in other places within the Scripture. In other words, we need to leave the magnifying glass by which we read the Scripture in the hands of the biblical writers themselves. And so if you test Scripture in light of Scripture, I don't think that you can come up with the notion that these are dinosaurs, though dinosaurs certainly are creations of God. Dinosaurs are not being discussed in this passage. In fact, I would argue that in general, what the Bible is, certainly starting with Genesis chapter 12 and then going through Revelation chapter 22, is it's the unfolding plan of God's redemptive work with respect to humankind. You do have macro issues discussed in the first 11 chapters, but it's not really a sense of giving you the how, but rather the why. It's not chronological necessarily, although there's a chronology involved, but it's more chirological. It has to do with the purposes of God in creation. And so the macro events you find in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and then Abram is called from Ur of the Chaldees, and you have the unfolding plan of God's redemption for humankind.
Yeah. I get that. Makes sense.
We appreciate your call.
Thanks, Hank.
Good discussion. And I appreciate when people hold their ground. If they have an opinion, they want to be able to think through that opinion. And just because I'm giving an answer on the radio and I have an electronic voice does not mean I'm right. You should test what I say in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is good. And in that way, you learn discernment skills. You learn to discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. I mean, the average person can look through the Newsweek article that I talked about, and hopefully I'm not giving them too much publicity, but without discernment skills, they can fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. With discernment skills, however, they're able to use the deviations of a magazine like this as springboards or opportunities to share the truth and life and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, do be patient. I'll get to you. And if you're dialing in for the next hour, you can simply dial 888-ASK-HANK, and I'll try to answer your call during the next hour. Have a great time during the next hour as we continue answering your calls. Again, the number to dial 888-ASK-HANK translates numerically to 888-275-4265. Thank you so much for your support, for your prayers, standing shoulder to shoulder. We can make a difference for life and truth.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bill Nye, the science guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
"I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade."
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
"My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me."
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max McLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.